Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Hi, this is Paul Moore here in Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio with Sister Michelle Fernandez, Director of Catholic Charities for the Diocese of Peoria. This is the second part of a two-part interview with Sister Michelle. And now, Sister, welcome again to Catholic Conversations.
It's wonderful to be back.
Thank you. Now, Sister, once again, could we start with a Hail Mary, as we do in each episode? And if you wouldn't mind, would you give us the privilege of hearing it in Spanish? Unfortunately, I can't accompany you.
Claro que sí. Dios te salve, María, llena eres de gracia, el Señor es contigo. Bendita tú eres entre todas las mujeres, y bendito es el fruto de tu vientre, Jesús. Santa María, Madre de Dios, ruega por nosotros, pecadores, ahora y en la hora de nuestra muerte. Amén.
Amen. Thank you, Sister. It sounds a little bit like I had learned it once. It's about all I learned in French. And the only part that I recognized is in the middle. It goes, Santa María, Mère de Dieu. So it sounds a little similar to that. The French and the Spanish sound a little bit similar.
Yes.
Now, Sister, we spoke about the Catholic Charities in the last episode, and we also spoke about the charism of the Sisters of the Pierced Hearts of Jesus and Mary. And now the Servants of the Pierced Hearts of Jesus and Mary, to which you belong, were founded in 1990 by Mother Adela Galindo, is that pronounced?
Yes.
In Miami. And now, as you mentioned, I think in the first episode, there's approximately 50 sisters, and you're in many locations. I might be a little bit behind, but there's quite a few locations in Florida, including Miami and Fort Lauderdale. And there also you're also in South Dakota, Arizona, Rome, and here in Illinois, in West Peoria, and in Normal. Is that a rough idea of where you are?
We're also in Orlando and in St. Augustine in Florida.
Okay, so. Getting around there. Now, Sister, what has fueled this growth, if you don't mind my talking about growth is almost like a business term, but what has fueled that fast growth since 1990?
I believe it's the Holy Spirit, but also the Lord wanting more, right, for His people. And it's been, our community, we are, St. John Paul II is our spiritual father, right? But our mother foundress heard this calling, right, this exchange of hearts that she had. And she also, feels like this call from the Lord for that our world needs Our Lady, needs a mother, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the Holy Spirit is calling people to come serve His kingdom, right? Where, you know, there's darkness, light will come, right? Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. So I think people can look at the world and say, oh, we're in chaos at all levels, right? And these are the moments where the Lord raises up the saints, right? And calls people to serve His church. So I think it's the signs of the times, right? And for this hour, we are called. So I think the growth is a response to the Holy Spirit in each of us wanting to serve and help and love the Lord. And it is Him who calls, right? So it is Him who each of us, each sister has their love story.
Right.
And each one will say it's that personal call. But I believe it's a charism is given for a specific moment in time. And, you know, through our Mother Foundress saying yes, she opened the door for our community, for our spiritual family. We're not only just a community, we're also a spiritual family. Mm-hmm. So we have lay associates associated to us, the apostles, and then now also we have priests and brothers associated to us. So there is, and this is all a work of the Holy Spirit for these times, for these urgent times. Mm. So, yes.
Now, Sister, in the last episode, we talked about various activities of Catholic Charities of Peoria, the diocese, such as St. Nicholas Charity in Wheels, the Backpack Program, the Heart of Christmas, Giving Tree, and of course, food pantries in Peoria and Tolono. For reference, if anyone who's interested, that episode can be accessed at CatholicSpiritRadio.com under podcasts to hear the first episode of this two-part interview with Sister Michelle. But now we're going to move from these kinds of examples of of growth and giving, whether we're talking about religious community or in terms of whether we're talking about Catholic Charities expanding to serve its communities. We're going to move a little bit from that, those kind of very energizing kind of things to talk about, to a different kind of energy. We're going to return to the foot of the cross. Will you come with me, sister?
I will.
In Jesus' name, okay.
Yes, come Holy Spirit.
Come Holy Spirit. Now, I asked you what you might like to focus on in the second episode, and you suggested the brokenness that we experience in our lives. And you referenced and you talked about it a little bit in the first episode, that you do have some personal brokenness. And would there be anything there that the Holy Spirit might be asking you to just to touch on here? And not to wallow in stuff. It's not a sense of wallowing, but it's just a sense of admitting our shared humanity and that every moment has a piercing in it.
Yes, and I think through suffering we learn so much about ourselves, self-knowledge, and every suffering, piercing, or difficulty is really a choice that we're able to make, right? Are we going to embrace Jesus with his thorns on his head, right? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to run away from it, right? But he wants to bless us and draw close. And carrying our crosses really is what's going to bring us closer to him, right? And, mm-hmm. and that's our journey here on earth, to learn how to carry them with his help and his grace. And I would say, I mean, I was born without my hand, even though I had some challenges there. I would say I always had, it was always a blessing in many ways. My family, I have a sister who's 6 years older than me, and my cousins that I'm very close to as well. And they always embrace me and, mm-hmm. and love me and my friends and very much. But it proposed some challenges. I also have, some challenges with speech as I was young, and then it got a little bit better, and then you can't really notice
it
anymore.
We're not noticing those challenges, but, sister. No.
And then just, I would say when I was 19 years old, my parents divorced after 27 years of marriage. And that really, that was a very difficult moment, a very dark mm-hmm. moment for my family, for me. Personally, for my sister. And I would say in that year, I drew close to the Lord. And it was a grace, because I could have run away in the opposite direction. But that was a grace in my life. But that was a very dark year. But I would say the fruit of that was really my beginning relationship with the Lord. And I would say that was a fruit that I was able to become a real practicing Catholic, a practicing Christian, entering into that love relationship with the Lord. So I had nowhere else to go. Like, my biological family was in shambles. Mm-hmm. And but I learned a lot too. My mom forgave my dad and forgave him. And if my mom could forgive him, my dad was always and is a wonderful father. If she can forgive him, how am I not going to forgive him? So my mom taught me through that forgiveness, which is forgiveness is so important when we suffer, to forgive ourselves if our suffering is caused by ourselves, our poor choices, or forgive others if our suffering is caused by another.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that was one of the biggest markings, I would say, of my life. And then I would say also my childhood friend passed away suddenly 2 years ago, and that was kind of difficult. And then my cousins, we grew up very close to my cousins. My aunt suffered mental illness, and so my cousins grew up very close to us, and my cousin had a child that was pure love. His name is Christian, and Christian came into the world to bring us love. He never talked, he never walked, and he passed away at 8 years old a couple years ago. And he taught our whole family really the power of love, and that it's not in what we do, but it's just about being. And that was another suffering, that I would say another stepping stone that I've experienced that was very challenging at the time. You know, when children, we don't understand death. We don't understand, especially children, when the Lord takes children before mm-hmm. their time. I think it's one of the greatest sufferings that we can encounter. And then also one of my friends has also some challenges and had some children that the Lord took as babies, very, very young mm-hmm. to the Lord. And that was also a great challenge to hold a baby and just know that the Lord had a different plan for that baby and send that baby, you know, to be with the Lord is hard. And for the parents out there that have lost a child, it's a process to learn to live with a pierced heart. Mm-hmm. You're always going to wonder why didn't the Lord do the miracle for my child? Mm-hmm. Why did the Lord want them? But it's that process of uniting that suffering to the Lord and learning to live with a pierced heart, because death wasn't meant to be. And so grief wasn't meant to be. So
how old did you say that the young child was, sister?
Well, the baby was, Christian, my cousin, he was 8 years old. And then the little baby was 29 days old. So those are, and many as a religious, we work with many families, and we've been able to be in people's lives and those moments when they will encounter the Lord. So I've had the gift to be with families when their loved one is on their journey back home to heaven. And prepare and help to prepare that journey. Our mother foundress really has taught us to prepare people for those moments, right? And it's a journey. It's a process. You know, we pray for the miracle, but we know the Lord maybe the miracle is no more suffering to bring them, but to prepare the heart so that the heart can be ready for heaven, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to not have that purgatory time, right? To be able to prepare through the sacraments, to be able to know that the Lord is with us in that suffering, you know, and those aches of our heart. I think those are the moments of great suffering that we know where we stand with the Lord. Do we welcome the Lord in those aches of our heart, you know, those moments that we're all alone? Or do we go to our stronghold? Do we go to food, or we go to addiction, or we go to gossip, or we go to the vice in our lives, or do we go to the Lord? And when we're grieving or we have a profound piercing in our heart, those are the moments of, are we going to go to the Lord in those moments? And that's a process and a journey. And it's messy. Like I said in the other program, love is messy. It doesn't always look the same way. We're not always going to fold our hands and kneel and pray. Sometimes we're going to cry out. Sometimes we're going to scream. Sometimes it's going to be messy how we take that ache and that pain to the Lord. But that's what a love relationship is. And that's what the Lord is longing, that we welcome him, we allow him to hold us, we embrace him, and we allow, you know, his crown of thorns to pierce us. And another thing often that has helped me in those moments of anguish and ache that you don't even know how to pray or what to say, or you want to hide or you want to scream, or you feel numb, because sometimes you go to numbness to be able to cope with so much pain, and you don't really know what to do. And those are the moments where sometimes I just hold a cross and just hold it in silence. Don't know really what to do. But those are the moments where I have sensed the biggest graces of my life, the Lord loving me profoundly, telling me that he died for me, personally, just for me, and that his messy love was personally for me. And those are healing moments. So those are very profound healing moments. And Our Lady standing there at the foot of the cross is also an example. because when you lose a child, there's not really a name for it. When you lose a husband or wife, there's a widow, but when you lose a child, there's not a name, but there's Our Lady, you know, Our Lady of Sorrows, which she lost her son. She saw him tortured. And then in her greatest moment of pain, she welcomed us, you know, so that's when in that moment of pain, can we welcome others? And that's when the healing begins, and we are able to not have the pain go inward anymore, but go outward. Those are the moments when the healing starts to begin. And that's been through my life, through how we have seen the brokenness or the wounds become scars is when it has been able to offer it and give it life to others and share. Like if you're driving right now or listening to this program at home and you have an ache in your heart or pain in your heart, my prayer is that it's something I've shared, that you may know that you are loved by the Lord, that you may be given the grace to be able to offer that ache to the Lord and allow him to hug you, allow him to embrace you in it, and to have a renewed sense of hope that he is with you in it and that it has redemptive value, that all suffering, as hard as it is, has a value that we cannot see. And we see that in the life of the saints, Saint John Paul II, with his, he always had suffering accompany him. Why was his pontificate so fruitful? Because of all his suffering, So suffering has a great fruit. I often say that when something difficult happens, oh, that's fertilizer for the garden. So that we could see it that way, that we could see, it's hard though. When you're living it, it's hard. But that's the truth if we look at the life of the saints.
Well, sister, as they've said, and if I might hazard this phrase, fertilizer happens. So this is Paul Moore here in Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio with Sister Michelle Fernandez, Director of Catholic Charities for the Diocese of Peoria.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hi, this is Paul Moore of the Peoria Catholic Post here on Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio with Sister Michelle Fernandez, Director of Catholic Charities for the Diocese of Peoria. Sister Michelle, before the break, we were talking about taking one's pain and one's aches to the Lord and him transforming those into healing. And we're going to go a bit farther into that in terms of a couple of specific things that Catholic Charities does. Now, there are two bereavement groups that are operated, that you operate, and they're called Wounded Healers and Seasons of Hope. Could you tell us a little bit about what each does, and perhaps we could start with Wounded Healers?
Yes, so Wounded Healers began during the pandemic time where a lot of people were losing loved ones and not being able to have closure with their loved ones. And I started seeing the need really in that. And it was really the Holy Spirit, because a woman called Jolene Weisler called me, and she said she wanted to volunteer for Catholic Charities. And she said she could only volunteer on Saturdays. And I was about to hang up the phone, and I said, well, we don't have volunteers on Saturday. There's not really anything on Saturday that we could offer you. But something told me to ask her, what is your passion? What do you enjoy doing, or what ministries have you served in? And when I asked her that question, she said, well, I do a grief group at my church called G3. And from there, this conversation, we started talking, and we talked for about an hour. And the idea of her starting and helping me to begin Wounded Healers began from that phone conversation where I almost passed away, right? I almost. So the Holy Spirit's always at work. And this type of ministry is one of the Holy Spirit because it is something so heavy. Grief is heavy. Grief is like a zigzag. It's personal in so many levels. And also depending if you lost your child, if you lost your husband, how you lost them, the grief is different. And so Wounded Healers began. We just prayed about it. We came up with the title because we are wounded healers. The Lord resurrected with his wounds to show us that it is through our wounds that we are healed. And our healing will come only in heaven, the complete healing, right? But here on earth, we'll always be wounded. But with that woundedness, we can serve others, right? And it could give life. And so that's where it comes. And then Jolene really started putting it together. So we have 6 to 7 sessions, and we've done 2 rounds of the sessions. And we invite clergy, we invite deacons, priest to come and speak about the different topics. And in Wounded Healers, we have the topic of organizing your new environment and how to help you heal. We've had a topic on how death can change family dynamics, problem solving without your spouse, to be still and know, the fun factor. And then next week, we're going to end our session this week, actually October 13th, will be almsgiving and redemptive suffering. And we've had a different priest of the diocese, Father Verrier, will speak on that one. And then we've also had Monsignor come and talk as well, Monsignor Ward. And we've also had Father Don come and speak as well. And also Deacon Tom Mueller helps and has helped in many ways. And Deacon Tom Mueller and Jolene are the two that really have taken on this ministry to help me. I say that I'm really the donkey in it, in the sense that I help with the Zoom and I help with the different things, and I allow the Holy Spirit to facilitate it. And then we've had anywhere from 2 to 10 people come in to the Zoom meetings, and it's just some people like to zoom in and stay quiet and don't speak and just listen. That's where they're at. Others like to share more. And that's the gift of having it via Zoom, that you don't have to speak if you don't want to. If you're not ready, the heaviness is just too much and you can't speak, you can just listen in. So that's the Wounded Healers via Zoom. And we've only had the Zoom option of that. And on October 27th, we're going to have a Mass at Sacred Heart at 12 o'clock. Noontime, and we invite anyone who really would like to, those that have been part of the Wounded Healers, or anyone who would like to go. We're going to pray for our loved ones that have passed away, and we hope to be able to launch maybe another session of this in January.
Sister, just if I might interrupt just for a second, if people went to that Mass at Sacre Coeur, when is that Mass?
So it's going to be at Sacred Heart Church in Peoria.
Sacred Heart Church, yes.
In Peoria at 12 o'clock.
On which day?
On October 27th.
October 27th. And so if they hadn't been involved with Wounded Healers at this point yet, and they went to that Mass, would there be any information there about how they might get involved on a continuing basis?
Yes. So we will provide information at the Mass and also via our website on the next time we'll have the next groups.
Okay, that sounds great. Sorry to interrupt there. Go ahead. If you have anything more on Wounded Healers.
No, so that is Wounded Healers, and we're trying to always keep the Wounded Healers via Zoom for those that feel that maybe they're not ready to actually meet in person, so that there's that option. And maybe if there's not an option in their parish, they can have this opportunity through Zoom.
Okay.
So we do have a second group that's called Seasons of Hope that we started in Champaign. And that one was a little bit more formal. We started it as actually the original, when the pandemic hit in March, I started really asking our employees and our counselors, what do you think people need? And in my heart was this. And so one of our counselors thought, oh, yes, let me go ahead and begin this. And we actually, around the same time, we ended up starting both of them at the same time. And so it's a series called Seasons of Hope that's actually a Catholic bereavement group. It's a series of books that has four different sessions of 6 weeks each. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit more comprehensive in the sense each section has a reflection and a journaling that you can do and has kind of a trigger question. So some people are ready for that. They're maybe at the second phase of grieving or or a little bit more ready to do that. And or some people like journaling and find healing in that way. So we have that option. And then they also have met in person as well. And so so now we're switching that a little bit because we have no longer the counseling program, but we have now the outreach program. And the outreach coordinator, Angelica Talavier, is going to be overseeing that program. And more information is to come on that group. This last session has already ended for that one. And we probably will look probably January to start that up again. Okay. And that information could also be found on our website. So we have the two bereavement groups to be able to really reach out in that way. And we hope to maybe in the future create like a resource guide possibly of bereavement groups in parishes. Mm. Because some people will like the option to be able to have it in their parish as well. And the sense of the bereavement group is that when someone, you always have two fears when your loved one passes away, that they'll be forgotten and that you are alone. Like, how do you restructure your life?
Right.
And that loneliness. So the bereavement group helps that your loved one was not forgotten, and because you're talking about your loved one and that you're not alone in this.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I guess from the outside, like I haven't, with God's grace, my wife and I are healthy, but I've lost parents. But the fear of loneliness is not the same as if one lost a spouse, I don't think. And so that I didn't realize, of course, that would be a primary thing, wouldn't it? It would be the grief for the one lost, but then the feeling of, oh, gee, and I'm alone, which you might even feel that you're being selfish in feeling that.
Yes, and it's so I've learned so much in listening in. I have never experienced in that sense a tragedy in the sense of I mean I've experienced to some degrees, but of a loved one dying instantly, right? Mm. Killed in a car accident or died of a heart attack, and that is devastating. And the people that have shared their pain and been courageous enough to work through it. For me, it's I walk with you, I pray with you, I am with you in that. Or those maybe listening in that have experienced that pain, it's hard. You learn to live with that pierced heart, but you're not alone out there. But you are alone in your personal pain and that personal ache and that personal, how do I even take the next breath? How do I, you know, take my head out of the pillow every morning? Mm. And that's where the power of prayer of community and the bereavement groups come in, because we're not only just sharing, but we're praying for one another. And we're going to be offering a mass for you and praying the chaplet and praying a rosary for you. So the power of prayer is with you, even though every part of you feels the ache and the pain and you can't stand, you know, and that's where, in those moments, especially in those moments of tragedy, of when there's that tragedy of someone being killed or someone committing suicide, those moments is where we come together in solidarity as a family to support you in these bereavement groups, to say that you're not alone in these very difficult situations that the Lord has permitted this cross, and he's going to provide you the grace to carry this cross. And you need to trust that, and we're here to be with you, even though it's a personal journey. You're not alone, because we're the family of God with you. And that's what the Holy Spirit has asked us to do through these Wounded Healer and the other Seasons of Hope.
Seasons of Hope.
And
yes.
Those two bereavement groups. I've been more involved with the Wounded Healers, but I have heard very much of the Seasons of Hope. Both have provided this family environment for healing. And that's what it is when we go through these moments of difficulty in our life. There's that choice that we need to make, but we're not alone in it. That's why the Lord didn't leave us orphaned, right? God the Father loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son. And now we're preparing almost for this Advent season. And we're going to be preparing for, you know, Christmas soon. And when we see that baby Jesus, we'll be able to realize, okay, he didn't leave us alone. And then he didn't leave us alone when he died on the cross for us to save us, right? He gave us his mother, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a mother that, and then he didn't leave us alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And then he didn't leave us alone. He gave us the Eucharist.
There's a whole crowd in there.
Right? And he gave us his true presence.
Yeah.
So many times, and I know the pandemic was probably so even more difficult because we weren't able to receive Jesus. We weren't able to only spiritually. And then our loved ones passed away. We weren't able to say goodbye to them. They were alone in the hospital. And that ache was so devastating. How can we not hold them? How can we not? Mm-hmm. So it was like a double ache and pain of those of you out there that lost a loved one that you weren't able to kiss goodbye. The Lord has a recompense for that ache and that pain. And we have to trust that and hope. And it's so hard. And those are the moments that he provides the grace, or we cry out to him to provide the grace at those moments.
And that's where Wounded Healers and Seasons of Hope can try to help bridge that gap and bring people back in touch with the Lord. Sister, I did notice, reaching back to the last episode, and perhaps I don't want you to have to tell it all again, but I must admit, when you talked about the bereavement and the heart that you have for this, it reminded me of what your apostolate that was earlier in your religious life with Rachel's Vineyard, and that's very much a bereavement, a specific kind of bereavement too, and so. You've been acquainted and with this apostolate, and it's not one that you shy away from.
Yes, it's so interesting. When I arrived in the diocese in 2019, they're definitely connected because it is in both apostolates of great suffering, of great bereavement. There's also the mercy of God that we encounter. And so I thought that maybe I wouldn't be part of Rachel's Vineyard anymore, but the Holy Spirit said no. So I was invited in June when I arrived. In July when I arrived. In August, I was invited to be part of the Spanish Rachel's Vineyard here in the diocese. And so I am part of the Rachel's Vineyard retreat team here in the diocese and continue to be part of that ministry and always have it in prayer. Because I know that those that are suffering out there that have had an abortion, there's healing for you. You know, there's choices that's not the final choice, right?
Yes.
And there's healing out there and the grief of your choice. There's the mercy of God that can always heal you. And in bereavement also with letting go of our loved ones or this and that, what could have been, what should have been, what all of that, it's kind of connected in many ways. It's all grief. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, it's all the mercy of God.
Amen.
I believe that in these great sufferings and walking with people in these moments of great suffering accompanying, I myself have been able to embrace Jesus, get messy with the Lord in his work of helping and healing, and I'm a very unworthy servant to be part of those moments where I see the person encounter mercy and their whole life changes and encounter and be reconciled back as a child of God, like the prodigal son, see them come home. It's those moments where you're able to see the scales, you know, come off of their eyes, that they're able to see, able to forgive, able to receive the love of the Father, able to receive, you know, the salvation, able to receive that Jesus did die for them personally in spite of. And that's the mercy of God.
In Jesus' name, that's wonderful, sister. Yes, this is Paul Moore here in Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio with Sister Michelle Fernandez, Director of Catholic Charities for the Diocese of Peoria.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Are you fed up with the burden and chaos of the present age? If yes, stop and think. Whom have you chosen to be governed by? Is it Christ, the King? Join fellow Catholics in the presence of Jesus Christ, Savior and Sovereign King of the Solemn High Mass, in the traditional Latin form in the Church of the Holy Rosary Shrine at LaSalle, Illinois, on Sunday, October 31st, at 1 p.m. Holy Mass will be followed by procession and benediction. Refreshments follow in the shrine basement. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Bring your family and friends, and enter the court of Christ the King. God bless you!
Hi, this is Paul Moore here in Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio with Sister Michelle Fernandez, Director of Catholic Charities for the Diocese of Peoria. Now, Sister, we were talking about bereavement groups there, Wounded Hearts and Seasons of Hope, and please God, people are going to get lots of healing and Seasons of Hope from connecting with those and through the website, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later, finding out more about those apostolates. Now, in terms of Catholic Charities, you also partner with other agencies across the diocese. Now, in Bloomington Normal, for instance, you gave me, you sent me a list of pages of all the organizations that you can connect with, and it's truly impressive. There's a lot of people that are in the helping world here in Bloomington Normal and throughout the diocese. I'm assuming that was just an example of what's available throughout the diocese. Now, in terms of how you connect with these partner agencies, I know what you're looking for when you have a partner agency, or I'm assuming, is that what you're looking for is to fill a gap that you realize people need. Simply, what do people need? Okay, can we have some kind of a partner who can address that need? Because we can't do that. That's not one of the things that we do directly. But I also know, and you admit this, these agencies are not the Catholic Church, a lot of them. You have certain things that you do through Catholic Charities, but these agencies do not necessarily share the same mission or vision as Catholic Charities in every aspect. They provide a service that you know is needed. So I'm just wondering, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot here too much, but is that a dividing line that you have to navigate with prayer?
Yeah. So basically what happened was during the pandemic, we realized during lockdown that what are we going to do? We have a ministry that is a van that goes out to people, but you know, so we became part of the Hope Network. So I contacted OSF Hospital and the Hope Network is in Peoria, a group of several agencies that we partner with Catholic Charities together,
right,
in the community. And we came together about 14, 15 different agencies, the Salvation Army, paralegal services. Mm-hmm. And we come together once a month and share what we're doing. And before the pandemic, we used to come together and give flyers promoting our events. But now during a pandemic, we email each other or say, oh, we have a client that needs a bed, or we have a client that needs a stove. Does anyone have one? Or a client that needs a gift card, you know? So we are really working together to help these individuals. And so I would say that, I cover 26 counties. There's no possibility that, you know, one person can do that. But every community has agencies that are out there. And some of the parishes also have food pantries. And some of the parishes have, you know, corporal and spiritual works of mercy that they do out in Nauvoo. Father has out there, Father Trelosi has a Friends of Father that he helps families. And so with the agencies, of course, that we did these resource guides in 12 different counties. So I was blessed to have interns from Bradley University and Catholic University and from ISU and Benedictine College. I was able to have interns, two in the spring semester of last year and three in the summer. And we were able to do these resource guides. And it was a challenge, like, what is there an agency that maybe doesn't have a value of the that we believe a moral value? So what we tried to do was to put the agencies on there, knowing that there are some, we didn't put anyone that, of course, does abortions or anything like that on there, but ones that will address maybe rent, utilities, and knowing that, you know, those agencies might not have the same vision as Catholic Charities, but are working together in solidarity to help meet the needs of people in the community. And so that's how we put the resource guides. It's still developing this effort to do the resource guides. When we go out in the van, we hand them out to people and say, oh, if you need rent and utilities in this area, you know, because every 211 is different in each area. Mm-hmm. So this is another way that we could just circle, oh, this is an agency in your area that does rent and utilities or gives out clothing. So that way we have something to give them that they can go. And sometimes they know and sometimes they don't know the agency. And sometimes they don't know that the own Catholic church has maybe a food pantry or what. So that's what we're trying to do. And also like support groups, like maybe for those that are divorced or bereavement groups in each area. So we're trying to develop the resource guide to also include what the churches are doing as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a worthwhile struggle, sister. I know that that I've been involved with efforts before where people looking at it from the outside would say, oh, you've got so many different groups. Why don't you just have one group? Well, you know, if people that have different interests who are volunteering for those groups, and you do need, as you say, it's life's messy, and you need to get all the input from as many people with good hearts and good intentions as possible, and it doesn't always fit into one neat little package. It many times it is a many-headed creature, but it's a creature with God's help that you praise is going to serve people, and you just work with discernment and work with good people and try to draw people in and be a unifying force for the good of the community and the individuals in it. Now, sister, you've indicated that you are looking at expanding that effort and seeing how you can reach out to more partner agencies to become more of a service to the people and to address their needs, aren't you?
Yes, we are. So we're looking at that. We do partner with St. Vincent de Paul in Peoria and McLean County. Currently, we do help with, we have a St. Vincent de Paul helpline that Catholic Charities oversees. And that's a beautiful partnership that we started years ago. And we do continue to help with that. Basically, the parish secretaries were a little challenged by answering the phone. So we took on that with the different conferences helping to fund that. And so then basically we take in the request and then we have two employees that kind of oversee that. And then that call goes to the conferences of St. Vincent de Paul, and they meet the needs. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of even within our Catholic Church, how we have truly partnered. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking in ways to do that with possibly other agencies or others. So out in Moline, I've been in contact with Catholic Care Packs. They give Deputy Tim, they give out backpacks to those that are homeless. And so that's a beautiful ministry they have out there. And now they're giving brown scapulars out.
Wow.
so it's a true ministry where we're ministering to the whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to see how ways that we can partner with ministries and organizations that have that true Catholic identity out there, or also in Champaign to partner with it used to be CU Fair, and it's Immigration Services of Champaign Urbana, and to help with the immigrants out there. So we're trying to find organizations that do services that we know are a need that we don't do.
Hmm.
So, but also that have the Catholic vision, that see it as a ministry. To be able to bring the love of Christ and do transformational ministry with the people. So that is a work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
As we
know, the Lord was not exclusive when the apostles said, "Oh, they're not of our group. Why don't we stop them from doing this or stop them from doing that?" I think the Lord said something like, "If they're not against you, they're with you." Or now he also, I think, in another place said, "If they're not with you, they're against you." But in this particular context, I think he was very much, don't exclude people who mm-hmm. are a little different than or might have come from different backgrounds than we do, if they're working for good. Take what good we can from them and work with them and show good faith toward them as much as toward the people we're working with.
Absolutely. And that's so important to work together with what is already, what the Holy Spirit's already inspired in different communities.
Mm.
So and the pandemic, that was a gift, because we really, with the Hope Network, we have really united to help. And so we'll see how that continues. And out in Borough County, I'm in contact there also with several organizations and the health clinic out there. And it's just wonderful. I'm excited to see what the Lord will do and how he'll bring us together in solidarity to help our brother and sister and to be a family in this area. Because when the Lord visits us with suffering, that's an opportunity that we are able to receive his mercy. And that's a time of transformation in our lives. So it is a privilege to be able to be on this journey, to be asked to somehow kind of lead it.
Mm.
And I say that very hesitantly, because I feel like I'm just a servant of this ministry in so many ways. I feel it's a ministry that's like the ministry of the cross,
mm-hmm.
a messy ministry of love, but such a privilege to see his transformational power and to be able to be a part of people's lives in those intimate moments of suffering. And so it is a privilege for me to be part of it. I often see so much difficulty, but also so much hope at the same time.
Yeah. And now what I'm hearing here, what we've described in this episode, as well as the first show, which again is available on the Catholic SpiritRadio.com website under podcast, is easy to find. What I'm hearing here is that, you know, the whole effort that you're trying to put together here, it's under construction, like we all are as individuals. It's under construction. You're seeing the needs, and you're saying, how can we respond to that, to people, individual people who might have a need in McLean County or Peoria County or whichever county, how can we respond to those and make it as easy for people to access as possible and make it as easy for people to volunteer to help as possible? How can we become a face that is easy, the face of Christ in the community, that's easy for them to know where to go? Now, specifically in that aspect, you do have a website, and that's probably the first point of contact. And now, is that CatholicCharities.com? I'm just guessing.
So it's CCDOP.org.
Okay.
If you go to there, so it's the initials of Catholic Charities Diocese of Peoria.
Okay.
So www.ccdop.org.
And for lazy people like me, who can never remember things like that, I'll just say ccdop.org. But also, if you put Catholic Charities of Peoria in your browser, you're going to get there, right?
Yes.
So that's yeah. It's always, what's an easy search term? Catholic Charities of Peoria will get you to the right website. And also, we do. There is a number that can be called, and I'm going to give this number because it's not specifically on the website. It's actually Sister's cell number. And so we hope that she gets a call or two. We're hoping she doesn't get overloaded, but she's very willing to talk to anybody who needs help or who wants to give help. And that number is fairly easy to remember. It's like this: 309-409-5092. Once again, it's got a rhythm to it. 309-409-5092. And I'll just mention that once more at the end of the episode. Sister, I'm going to move over right now in terms of, we've talked about different resources that are offered through Catholic Charities and different outreaches that you're doing and planning. Now, in terms of resources, can you speak to the value of a smile in your work?
Yes, it's a huge... A smile. Sometimes I feel, what do I have to give, right? So at the beginnings, we gave out in the van donations. And sometimes we didn't get that many donations. So it was just a little bag, maybe with a soap in it. Mm-hmm. But I did bring that with a smile. And sometimes the people would say, Sister, and I feel so humbled and just small to say this, but Sister, it was just your smile, or it was just, your hug or your embrace, or your, you know, just knowing that you drove 2 hours to come to be here with us, but that, and then you still have a smile on your face that made me calm or gave me hope today. And then the people would smile at me, and their smile to me helped me to travel those 2 hours.
Would light your way back. Yeah.
Right. So I say that it wasn't my smile, but it's their smile. So the reciprocal smile back that gives. And that's so healing. I believe a smile is very healing. We all have that longing. God made us not to be islands, but He made us to be in community with one another. And a smile is the way that we could say to each other, I love you. I'm here.
Wow.
And so that's what a smile does.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It brings up the image of the Lord's smile. Sometimes we think of His commandments and this kind of thing, but just to think of His smile, it's a pretty giving thought. Sister, you also, the Lord's mom, inspired a poem by your founder. I'm sorry, what was her name again?
So our founder is Mother Adela Galindo. So, yes.
And she wrote a poem about Our Lady's smile. Could you read a little excerpt from that, please?
Yes. So this is a prayer that she wrote reflecting on St. Teresa, how Our Lady smiled at St. Teresa and healed her. And this specific one says, "Smile, Mother, and heal us with your love. Smile towards us and cast out all our fears. So I invite you at this moment, wherever you are, to allow Our Lady through these words to smile into your heart. Smile, Mother, and heal us from all that imprisons love in our hearts. Smile to our minds and heal the memories that hurt the vision of love. Smile to our hearts and heal the experiences that have hardened us and have made us run away from love. Smile to us with your maternal love, and knowing that we are loved, Heal us from the fears and hurts that impede us from generously and freely loving. Smile, O Mother, and with the radiance of your maternal countenance, heal our bodies from the lack of transparency in communicating the language of love. Smile, Immaculate Mother, to our souls and heal us from all that is wounded in our communion of love with the Blessed Trinity.
It's a beautiful prayer, and the whole prayer, I believe, is on the website of Sisters of Pierced Hearts of Jesus and Mary, Servants of the Pierced Hearts of Jesus and Mary. So again, if you look on Google, I won't attempt the actual website name right now, but if you look under Servants of the Pierced Hearts of Jesus and Mary, there's a landing page there. And if you look on the landing page, you will find this prayer, Our Lady of the Smile.
You can go to pierced hearts.org.
Oh, that's pretty simple. Okay, pierced, no acronyms there at all. Pierced hearts.org. God bless. That's great. Now, I'm going to move from Sister's reading, and I'm going to offer, with God's help, the reading for the Holy Gospel for the week of Sunday, September the 24th. And it's interesting. I don't know how often this happens in the Gospel, but this Gospel follows directly on the previous week's Gospel. Doesn't skip a verse, doesn't skip anything. It goes right from 10:45 of Mark 10:45, to Mark 10:46 this week. And so I'll read this Gospel and ask Sister to offer a short reflection on it. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on his way. The Gospel of the Lord.
So, Lord, we ask in a very special way through this Gospel and this week ahead that we may ask the Lord to have pity on us and in those areas in our life that maybe we're struggling with, so that we can see, his love, we can see his action, we can see why he's permitting this, for what purpose. We might not understand the why, but for what purpose he's permitting.
Thank you, Sister. I just want to close this episode of Catholic Conversations by saying thank you to Sister Michelle Fernandez of the Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Peoria. John Hall is executive producer of Catholic Conversations, and Weber is associate producer. I'm Catholic Post columnist Paul Thomas Moore. Catholic Conversations airs on the Catholic Spirit Radio Network Saturdays and Sundays at 3 p.m., or you can listen to the podcast on the website at catholicspiritradio.com, and please share the link. Finally, as Mother Teresa used to say, God bless and good luck.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.